The message you are about to hear is provided as an outreach ministry of Calvary Bible Church in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
What do you think of the video? And the funny thing is, this is not a show. This is a true story. We all at some point was deeply wronged or hurt by someone close to us. The nature of these hurts are different. Some are really deep hurts and some aren't. The deeper the offense, the difficult it is to release or to let it go. In addition to this trait come our own nature. For some, letting it go, it's easy for them. But for others, it's difficult because they don't like confrontation. And so everything is kept inside and has become like a fresh volcano lava that is really hot and it's always burning. What does God have to say about offenders or about offenses and about the offended? What are His commands regarding hurt these offenders caused? See, our heart and minds do not forget things like that. How are we supposed to respond to people who deeply hurt us? Where forgiveness is even in the Bible? Some of these questions are very important to answer. The reason why we find it difficult to forgive is simply we do not understand what forgiveness is. Now, some of you say, no, I do. I know what forgiveness is. And that might be true, but we know forgiveness only from our standpoint, from our view, from our perspective. What about from Christ's command? From the video we just watched, it's obvious that someone who probably gossiped about your house or your room not being cleaned, it's different than someone killing your daughter in a car accident. I've heard many stories that kind of similar to this one that really broke my heart, and it was really difficult for me to relate to. Some of them were really sensitive topics. And probably you have some of these stories that you don't want it to be brought up again. You know, I just don't want to talk about it. I closed that page. But the truth is it really closed within yourself? When I went to Togo last summer, and I was visiting missionary friends, and her husband gave me a book to read. The title was Masks. And as I was reading it, the book is saying that we believers, we all, at some point, or even continue having them, that we have masks to cover our face. Those masks can be different things. It can be smile. It can be you are just good in switching the topic. And she was telling me that, because I'm someone who, you know, love laughing, like smiling. And she was telling me, for her, her mask was laughing. Because there is a hurt. There is a deep hurt within her that when it comes out, all that she can do is to just laugh. And sometimes she says that, she told me, people find her weird because some of the stuff she's laughing, ha ha ha, it's not really funny. But then she said, one time God got a grip of her heart. And she told me, Cassie, I'm going to tell you what happened. And I said, okay. So I thought this might be, you know, some issue between her and her sibling or something. She told me when I was 8, her father raped her, and this abuse, sexual abuse, continued till she was 16. And I was sitting there like, what? I just really can't fathom that. Till like she got a point, understood the gospel, and got to leave the house and left. And it's like, So I was waiting to hear the rest of the story. And she said, you know, when I become a believer, I forgive my dad. Interesting enough, I was spending some time with them, and that very week, one of the days was her dad's birthday. And then she called him and wished him birthday. Obviously, a man who doesn't seem to be really bothered by, you know, this hurt and marks that his daughter is still carrying. And people have hurt me too. I've hurt people. But I think comparing to this kind of hurts, it's quite different. And if she holds grudges, I believe she has the heart, the right to, like the guy was saying, Matthew West was saying in his song, Forgiveness, that the judge, the jury, everybody tells you that you have the right to hold grudges. What he did to you was so wrong. He has to be put behind the bars. You got to report him. Forgiveness. As I was studying this topic, I came to a point that actually it's too big for me to wrap my mind around it. And maybe it might just be a series. Maybe another time we'll continue. Because it has different layers that it takes time to understand. And when I was studying and remembering the past, some of the things I have to forgive people and let it go, some of them was my dad, because he was a very educated guy. I was a principal in school. Got a lot of money, but didn't care about me and my mom. So when I become a teenager, it's like, wait a minute, something is not quite right here. And I said, you're not fair. So I chose my mom's side. But when I went to school in Ghana, 2008, I just feel like my prayers were hitting the ceiling. And I become really miserable. Sorry. And I was asking God, what's happening? Because I don't understand. And it was more clear like a day that God is saying, you just have something to take care of first. I know, I see your heart. You're really devoted to serve me. You want to follow me and all that. But there is something that has to be dealt with first. And guess what? The Holy Spirit brought to mind. You got to go back and talk to your dad. It's like, Lord, I really don't think I can do that. It's not my fault. It's his fault. He was the one who bailed on us. He knows better. And so, the first semester in the school, it kind of, I was telling the Lord that I'm not going to deal with it. I don't really think it belonged to me to initiate that step. But then the conviction kept pounding on my heart day after day, to the point I began to feel like I'm a hypocrite. I tried to solve problem between two people on campus. We have some issues and all that. And when I look into my heart myself, and here I am, I know that between me and someone, things are not quite well. And this is my dad. And it came a time, 2010, it's like, I was more than miserable. And I remember my friend Jacob, we pray nights, almost 5 days out of seven. We have a soccer field. We will go there 9 p.m., we'll be praying till 11 p.m., and we'll come back to sleep. And while we're praying again, I just said, Lord, then you have to help me. I agree to do this, but you need to help me, because I just don't have the courage, the strength. And my heart is not telling me that this is actually my fault. But then the conviction wasn't that you go, but another voice or another conviction I felt is that if the Lord is asking you to go, then He is with you. He will help. And so that began another prayer. And I told Jacob that I really need you to pray with me because I got something to take care of. And it's really difficult. So then one day I was in a class. I didn't plan any day to go back to Togo because I was going to school in Ghana, another country. And so I was in a classroom. And I can't bear it anymore. I just raised my hand. I told the teacher that I got to leave. I said, what? Where are you going? So he thought I was asking for bathroom break. He's like, no. That's not what we're talking about here. I had to go to Togo. I said, well, is your mom okay? Because they know my mom's situation. I said, yeah, she is. This doesn't have anything to do with her. And I went back. And before I went on my way, I called my aunt, my dad's sister, and I told her that it's time, and we need really to talk about this. And she said, yeah, I have been, you know, waiting for this. And so we all get together, long story short, and we talk, and obviously my dad is still holding grudges against my mom. Why my mom didn't come back, but you went off with another woman. And my mom can't deal with polygamy. And so here I am. I just felt like, why did I even bother myself? 4 hours in a bus, squeeze the bus to come here and to hear this again. But then I have to go back to what I believe the Word of God is saying. What is the forgiveness? The forgiveness when my dad knows that, or come and kneel before me and say, I'm sorry before I forgive? Or am I saying this from Christ's perspective that it is a command? And so not obeying a command is literally sinning. I have to do it because the Lord asked me to. And that's the right thing the Lord wants me to do. Is it difficult to do? Oh, you bet it is. And so I told him that, you know, probably the difference between us here is that I know the Lord that tells me to do what I'm doing right now. If it belonged to me, probably I will never come here. But I believe that's what God wants me to do. And I want you to know that I forgive you. And then I went back to Ghana, finished school, and then came to Bible school in West Virginia. And right after a month, I got a call that my dad passed away. So one of the things my aunt was telling me is that, you see what I was talking about? I told you guys to settle this, sit down, talk about it. You just did this, and almost after a month or two, your dad passed away. Would you have come back to reconcile with a dead person? I hope I can get through this. And that was difficult. Because we forgive each other, but we didn't have a time to enjoy that fellowship. And I'm not the only one who have that story. Some of you sitting here have the same story. People have done things to you that you just don't want to talk about it. It's a private. It's a sensitive. It still hurts. And a part of you is telling you that it's not your fault. Don't worry about it. It's their fault. You have the right to feel the way you feel, not to let it go. Could be someone from your family. It could be your spouse. It could be a close friend. Something that also, I believe, sometimes Satan uses to foster this is that these very people who cause this hurt to us, they just walk away freely. They don't care. They don't seem to be bothered. Another example is that I have a mark here. You can't see far away, but a nice cat. So when we were teenagers, a friend of mine, I think we were playing Bruce Lee, and he had a little knife in his hand. And then he was doing it. I said, no, we shouldn't use that one. And before I can raise my hand, not, oh boy, it was cold at first, and blood began to gush out. Now, if I tell him that, you know that one time you give me a cut, a deep cut, he would say no. He wouldn't remember. This happened when I was 14. He was 14 too. But I still have the mark. I remember it. I remember the day. It was just like 2 minutes ago. He forgot about it. That's how complicated this is. When the way you feel, the way you feel, and those people who cause those hurt don't have, they don't care about it, they don't even remember. How do we deal with it? In Mark chapter 11, if you would like to turn with me over there, I don't have the bulletin here to give you the pew Bible page number. Mark 11, verse 22. Actually, I might start from verse 21. Mark 11, 21. I mean 20 to 25. This is a story where, as you're looking for the page, give you the background of it, where Jesus cursed the fig tree and they came back and Peter was really astonished about what happened. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the root. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. That's all he told Peter. 23. "I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when," pay attention to "and," two clauses coming together. All the clauses are independent, linked by this conjunction. "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sin." Okay? That's one part of the story. Go with me directly to Luke chapter 17. Verse 3. You can keep your finger on Mark 11 and you come with me in Luke 17, verse 3. "So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he or she repents, forgive him. If he sins again, if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times comes back to you and says, 'I repent,' forgive him." Now, people say, "Wait a minute. That's a little bit of contradiction there. Forgiveness, the power and the puzzle." Well, a part of me, a part of the word is saying that when I'm praying and I remember that there is something in my mind against someone, Jesus said, I should forgive him. But the other side of the same New Testament is saying that, wait, when someone comes that knows that he did something wrong and he came and asked for forgiveness, I should forgive him. It's a little bit confusing, isn't it? It's like, what are we? There is no confusion here. In prayer, there are times the Holy Spirit convinces us that something is not quite right. Like in my case, what happened to me and my dad's scenario. And in this case, this type of forgiveness requires, in chapter Luke 17, that the offender has to take a step. What Jesus is saying, if I want to bring these two together for you, is that whether the person take a step or not, we have to forgive. You remember, we forgive, we release, we let it go. If the person remember and he came to you, no matter how many times, we forgive him. And did you see the answer that Peter gave? Luke 17. Not actually Peter, all the apostles. They said, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. I like that response. It's like, I am not sure how many times I can bear this. Increase our faith. This requires faith. Two types of forgiveness that I will start, not finishing it today, but another time, we have a judicial forgiveness. It all started with God forgiving us, and it started from the garden. This judicial forgiveness is where God released the sinner for Christ's sake. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in Romans 5, Paul put it right, said, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We sinned. We should be punished. So this is the judicial forgiveness that because Christ has become our lawyer, defending us, defending our case before God, God let it go. But after we became believer, we still sin, don't we? We want to name it differently, our infirmities, our shortcomings, whatever way we want to call it. According to Romans 3:23, they're all sins. What about the sin that we still commit toward the Lord after we saved, that we can say we know better? Well, that's what we can call the fellowship forgiveness. This forgiveness is not granting us again a repentance or salvation. This forgiveness is what is setting things okay between us so that God can hear our prayers. Some theologians will call it a reconciliation forgiveness. So we have the judicial forgiveness first, where God released that because of Christ and what he did on the cross. And after we become a believer, we still sin, and we have this fellowship forgiveness that when we confess our sin, he forgives us and the fellowship restored. Now, what about forgiving ourselves? Oh, what I did is so terrible. I'm not sure there is any God out there that can forgive me. Unfortunately for us believers, we still feel like that sometimes. And Satan is using those guilt as a grip of our heart, still want to pull us backward. It's like, well, don't deceive yourself. I really don't think God, you know, God forgave you. That's really too deep. He just didn't wink at that one. And it's a lie from the devil. Because Christ said it is finished. We are forgiven. We are being reconciled with the Lord. And so, since Christ knows that on the cross, bleeding for other people's sin, and he said, Father, forgive them. And he forgive us. That's why he can make forgiveness as command. You see, what he went through, it's really difficult. And yet he let it go. He released us sinners. And he's commanding us to forgive. Forgiveness is not optional for us believers. It is not. But from our view, that's the way, or some of us, that's the way we view it, that it's optional. I think I have the right to hold this. But it is a command. And there are people in our lives, in our families, in our workplaces, the next gospel they need to hear is for us to forgive them. And they will see that love of Christ. Because some of them, they know what they did. They're already guilty of it. And as we release and forgive them and say, you know what? I forgive you. It blew them away. Look at what the lady did to Eric, the young man who killed his daughter. Someone probably hoping to have a grandkid and they come at your door that someone was drunk and ran over and killed your daughter. That's a pretty deep. You're not going to get her back again. She's gone. And yet she understands that holding Eric in her heart, it's holding herself in a prison. Setting Eric free by the power of the Holy Spirit, because that's difficult for us to do, flesh and blood. She feels that she is that forgiven, that offender, or that sinner, or that prisoner that was released. I saw an acronym of forgiveness where the F stand for faith, the O stand for obedience, the R stands for righteousness, the J for grace, I for inheritance, V for victory, E for edify. Faith, obedience, righteousness, grace, inheritance, victory, edifying. When we forgive and let it go, it's like a victory. The beginning is always difficult, but it's a command for us to do it. Pastor Ken is preaching about loving each other, and I've been thinking about it. And sometimes I just ask myself, how is it so difficult for us to really love each other? Is it possible for us to truly love each other when there is something still in a corner of our heart that we didn't let go? Is there anyone, even among us here, that you just need to talk to? Someone that did something but didn't know that it offended you, but it did for you. And we take another step so that our love becomes genuine and sincere. We've been praying and asking God so many things. Father, I need this. Father, I need that. Father, I need that. And we're not receiving the answers. I'm not saying because we did not forgive people. But what if we didn't forgive people, we're still holding things in our heart, is what is causing that? What if we forgive and let it go, maybe our fellowship, either here at the Calvary or back there in our family with our siblings, we can feel the presence of the Lord afresh every time? What if that was just because of the lack of forgiveness? You see, We recite Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer. And we emphasize a lot the God's will part. But do you know the bottom line of that verse? Look at the verse 14 of Matthew 6. And if you don't forgive other people, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. In another, we say, Lord, I have the right to hold grudge against my dad, but you have to forgive me. You know, don't worry about this one. It's his fault. But me, I need forgiveness. And God said, wait a minute. It doesn't work like that. Someone might say, well, then is God forgiveness conditional? It seems like it's conditional. No, no, no. It is not. He is telling us that, yeah, I see what your dad did, but you should remember also what my son did on the cross. And so when we see that we are sinners, because that's something what we lack. We are the victim. And the whole world has to apologize for us. I'm not trying to be harsh here. We feel like that sometimes. But we're sinners too. We keep sinning against the Lord. And he said, I'm commanding you to forgive. God is not saying that my forgiveness is based on you forgiving other people. That's what I'm saying. We have the judicial forgiveness first. And that wasn't based on any work we did. It was totally Christ. But he's saying, for a better fellowship between you and I am teaching you something. I want you to reproduce that. Because that's how people will know that we are Christians. They will know that we are believers by our love. But before we can love, there are some stuff that has to be solved. And that's what's the difficult part. I will encourage you, as my bottom line, that I don't have a huge thing to say here than probably begun to seek the Lord. Begun to pray and say, Lord, I know we need to just to deal with this. Is it your best friend, someone who used to be your best friend? Is it your spouse? Is it someone that is a relative? Is it someone at work? that you just don't want to deal with it. But inside, this person is held prisoner. Is held prisoner. They began to pray, say, Lord, help me. And we seek the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to do this. You see, that's why Christ said, I am with you till the end of the world. That promise is made to us. We've got to claim it. And then indeed, when we believe and pray and ask the Lord, He will help us to forgive. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we're so grateful that truly we don't deserve forgiveness. The truth is, before we know Christ, we were sinners. After we know Christ, we still sin. But your heart is big enough to forgive us. And we pray that you help us. I thank you for some people here who truly have forgiven people their sins, while others still struggle with it. We pray that you guide and you lead us so that our fellowship with you will be sincere and genuine. In Jesus' name, amen.
The message you have just heard was provided as an outreach ministry of Calvary Bible Church in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. For more information, please visit our website at calvarybiblefdl.org or call at 920-921-0530. Thanks for listening, and may you grow in grace through faith in Jesus.